Well, good morning. I'm on my way out for the first day of Mearns quail season in Arizona. This is the opener, and we'll go ahead and talk our way through it. We'll be operating down in southern Arizona in the mountains, not too far from the border, so it'll be interesting this year. But you know, we'll see what happens. They got a lot of good rain this year. And they had a really good monsoon season. I think it was the second or third wettest monsoon recorded. So that's good. There should be a lot of grass on there to help those birds out. So I'm excited. My name is Randy Schultz, and let's go ahead and hunt some Mearns quail. So welcome back to A Bird Hunter's Thoughts, Turn 'em Loose, as we go ahead and look at Mearns hunting in 2021 in Arizona. I'd like to take a minute and thank my sponsors, ESP America at ESPAmerica.com. And they're the makers of the finest ear attenuators on the market. They're comfortable, so you wear them. Custom molded to your ears, block everything over 90 decibels, and you can turn up the volume so you can hear other things while you're walking through the woods. The best there is, ESPAmerica.com, and then also Dr. Tim's dog food and high energy for your dog. I feed that to my dogs, have for years, and this stuff is really, really good. In fact, I have done a podcast with Dr. Tim, so if you look back through the library, you'll see it. I encourage you to listen to that. He's a very, very interesting guy. He's a dog sledder in Marquette, Michigan. He started making his own feed to because he wasn't satisfied with what was on the market for his sled dogs. So, Dr. Tim's, drtims.com. Also, don't forget to visit my YouTube channel at Bird Hunter's Thoughts and my blog, abirdhuntersthoughts.com. That's sort of a landing page. You can go there and find all the other stuff. And if you're into it, I've got two books out, Endless October. And Endless October Season 2. Both of them are available on Amazon and Kindle, paperback, and audible book narrated by me. Well, I met my buddy, and we drove on down to the spot we wanted to hunt down there south near the border, and met a couple other friends down there, too. They're first-timers. We're kind of introducing them into the area, so we've got one spot I call the drive of death, and it's back into the mountains. It's places where a truck shouldn't go. I've got pinstriping now, and my Arizona pinstriping from all the manzanita bushes and on either side of the road. And I'm telling you, it's places where I would normally, before I came down here, I'd look at and go, I'm not taking a truck in that. Not from the bushes, but from just being vertical, driving through washes and over rocks and. Looks like a Jeep commercial. But anyway, we got back there and parked and headed down. And Dave and I went down one draw, and Wally and John and Vince went down another one. And I just didn't know what to expect. And we got down in there, and Shaq pointed, just locked up tight. It was just great because Dave and I walked over, got set, and two birds got up. And wouldn't you know it, Dave and I shot the same bird. But he was ahead of me a little bit. It was his bird, and Shaq made a nice retrieve. And I've never seen a dog do this, but I've seen Shaq do it several times. He took the bird to Dave and handed it to him. And you say, well, you know, he was just handing it to the first guy. No, not normally. He brings it to me. He'll bypass 10 people to bring that bird back to me. So anyway, that was kind of cool, and we took some pictures. The other bird we couldn't find, it took off, and we thought maybe we saw where it landed, but we went over there, and it took off, and he was gone. So we went further down the draw. Shaq locked up again, and this time, oh, it was a big covey. It was 15 to 20 birds, which was unusual for Mearns, but we were real happy with it. So we both got some birds out of that, had some good dog work, and continue on down, and decided to come on back. That whole evolution took about 2.5 hours. It was Temperature now is about 55 to 65 degrees and warming up. We got down and started walking back up. These are all washes that head towards Mexico. So they head south, and so the wind was out of the south. We had a good breeze, and it was actually pretty easy walking once you get down on the draw. But coming back out is the Karma there, and we came back out, met the guys for lunch. Lunch on the tailgate, and decided what we're going to do for the second run. And this time we went down to, dropped off into another canyon, went further down that gravel road back into another spot. It's really a two-track along the border. I think the only people that drive it normally are Border Patrol. But we got further back and went down a draw, and it was just a thick, brushy, kind of a, it wasn't really a broad savanna bottom where you could walk down and wash, but it was just a thick, brushy wash. And darn it, if we didn't get down, I mean, we were just having a hard problem getting down into it. Kind of rock strewn with grass through the trees, and kind of went straight down into it. My pup Blue pointed at the very bottom, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this could be, I'm thinking rabbit, skunk, possum. I mean, none of those, they have rabbits down here, but I haven't seen a skunk yet. So, and he pointed, and Ruby backed. And I'm kicking and kicking, and boy, he's taut. He is staunch. So we didn't produce, turned the dogs loose. One of them went one way, and one side of this little gullet's ditch, really. One side of the ditch, and one side on the other. I took about 20 steps and stepped right into a covey of 15 birds. I mean, in the middle of the covey. Birds came up by my ear. I felt the rush of the wind against my face. I was in the middle. And, of course, I had my thumb where it didn't belong, and I was just, I whiffed it. I actually thought I knocked a bird down, but we couldn't find it. And those birds, they'll go around a tree so fast to make your head spin. So, anyway, I didn't hit a bird. We were laughing. Dave came over and said, shoot, what happened? I stepped right in the middle of that covey that Blue pointed. They'd walked a little bit, and I guess the dogs went around either side of them. Didn't have them. About 100 yards further down, Ruby pointed again. I said, this has got to be a single. It's got to be a single off of that last covey. And it was the biggest Murren Squill covey I've ever seen. They had this 20-plus birds. They came up in waves. You know how big coveys will come up? Not all at once. You know, a wave will come up, and then 10 feet further on, another wave will come up just after that. Well, that's what happened. And Dave got a nice shot. And I whiffed it, so it was still fun. And we went looking for singles. We had a couple singles get up, and what they'll do is they'll wait till you're past them. They'll hold so tight, they'll wait till you're past them. When there goes the bird through the trees, and it's a little bit like gruff grouse hunting in that respect. But by now it was getting to be, it was 75. And that doesn't seem like it's real hot, but I'm telling you, it was hot to me and to Dave. We got down to where we knew we could either make a decision, we could go back up the ridge to our left, go back up to where the trucks were, or we could continue on down and make a longer hunt of it. Both of us looked at each other and said, nah, we're going back. Got back to the truck, and I'm glad, too, because by the time I got back, I was toast. And right about then, Wally and his crew came up out of the gully from the other direction, and we all looked at each other and went, oh my gosh, we're all worn out. It was about I guess about 4 o'clock, and it gets dark around 5:30. I'm thinking, oh, we're good. By the time we got out of there, it was pitch black. It was something. That was a rough drive. So today we are not going to go back there. We're going to a different spot that's got a lot of paved road to it, and we're going to head down and try it again down a different gorge and see how we do. You know, every time I come down here, I think of what I see on the news every day about the border situation down here with Mexico, and, you know, caravans and thousands upon illegals crossing the border, and drug cartels and all that stuff. Well, that may be true in other places, but I've been hunting down here now for 15 years. I ran into exactly one illegal down here, and he was lost. He'd been lost for 7 days. His name was Antonio, and he was trying to get back into Mexico. I laughed, and I said, let me get this straight. Oh, he spoke English. I said, let me get this straight, Antonio. You're trying to break back into Mexico? See? So anyway, he'd been abandoned by his buddies. He'd been wandering around down in Merns country for a week. He was out of water and didn't want to drink out of a stock tank, which I thought was pretty smart. And cell phone battery had died, so he couldn't call home. But anyway, I gave him a gallon of water and a ham sandwich and sent him on his way, pointed him to the border, which is problematic in itself, because how can you not find a border? And if you keep walking south, you're going to run into it. But anyway, whatever. So I'm always struck, it should not amaze me anymore, but I'm always struck by the difference between what we see on television and actual reality. I'm sure it's that way. I mean, you can't make up the pictures, but I'm sure it's that way in other places. But where I'm hunting, yeah, it's not an issue. I see a lot of evidence of activity of illegals crossing the border and walking through the mountains. We see a lot of backpacks, blankets under bushes. All the water holes have trails right to them. You can tell that kind of stuff. I'm sure all that stuff's marked on their GPSs. And but it's nowhere near as bad as what I see, and at least in this portion of the border. And I just thought that'd be interesting, because a lot of people, you're hunting on the border, oh my gosh, there's AK-47s and guys with drug mules coming across. And I said, yeah, they are. In fact, last year we ran into a couple of Border Patrol guys, literally, actually, one of them took my mirror off my truck, but we ran into a bunch of Border Patrol guys who were chasing a couple of drug mules, and they had dropped their drugs and were trying to get away from the Border Patrol. And we saw them walking down the road, two guys walking around in camo with watch caps, which looked kind of unusual to me at the time, but that's who they were, and they were chasing them, so hopefully they found them. Anyway, I just thought that'd be an interesting vignette on what's happening down here. So I'm 71 years old, and I think that it would be kind of instructive probably to talk a little bit about injuries and first aid and some stuff out here in the woods too. So I take a little first aid kit with me all the time wherever I go, a bigger one in the truck as opposed to one on my back when I'm out in the woods. Most of it's for the dogs, but I do take stuff for myself for cuts and things like that. But I also carry as well, I carry a satellite locator with me, so if I step in a hole out here by myself and break my leg and can't get back to my truck, well, then I'll be able to mash a button and have somebody come get me. And my wife made me buy that, probably 15 years ago. And I tell you what, that's a tremendous peace of mind. I recommend that for anybody. And whether you hunt alone or not, you could get in trouble out here, and that would give you the flexibility to have somebody come get you if you had to. I've never had to use it, but I test it, and I know it works. And then also, in September, I was hunting in Montana, and I stepped the wrong way and really messed up my right knee. It's been giving me fits ever since. In fact, I just had an MRI done a week before I came out here to Arizona after hunting in Montana, Wisconsin, South Dakota. So I went to see my orthopedic man, who I have on retainer, and he said, I suppose I can't talk you out of going to Arizona, can I? And I said, nope, you're going to need to do some doctor stuff and fix this thing. So anyway, I got no pain out of that at all right now. I've got it taped up and taking NSAIDs. But, you know, as you go along, aches and pains are going to happen, and just be prepared for it. Another thing I ran into was cramps. Because of this, you know, you throw out one thing on one side, it affects the other side of your body, goes back and forth and back and forth. It's just like clockwork. So I was getting cramping up at night, usually after the first day in the field, no matter where I go. I'll get leg cramps, and talked to my doc about it. She said, you know, take some tonic water and make sure it's got the quinine in it, or quinine as the English call it, and make sure it's got that in it, and just drink a bottle of that before you go to bed at night after that first day, and that'll take care of your cramps. And, you know, I'm sitting there rolling my eyes going, well, really? But it worked. I was getting cramps yesterday just driving back while driving. And that shook me up. I bought tonic water, regular old Schweppes tonic water with quinine in it. I drank a bottle and a half yesterday after hunting. Went to bed and got a good night's sleep with no cramps. And I'm telling you, you wake up in the middle of the night with cramps, which I've done several times, in your legs. And that'll make a believer out of you in a hurry. But, you know, things happen as you get older. It's no reason to hang it up, I'll tell you that. And just work around it and use your doctor's advice, and it'll keep you in the field longer.
In the interest of ambush reporting, we're sitting here in the mountains with my buddy from South Dakota, John, and his dog, Bo. And had an interesting just happened. Shaq got into a bunch of pigs. Javelina, I guess. Usually they run away. But this big old honker came around and was chasing my dog. He never saw him coming. Thankfully, he was near me. I put a load of eights right in his face. That deterred him from further action. He took off, and then I saw another one go with a bunch of youngins, so I guess we got close to him. John heard him huffing. I didn't hear anything because I can't hear anything anyway. But, so, John, what do you think of Mearns quail hunting?
Fun. Lots of fun. Lots of walking. Had 9.5 miles in yesterday.
That's crazy, man. You're with the wrong guy.
It's fun. My dog got on some.
Oh, good.
Got a covey up. I wasn't paying attention, of course, and missed, but it's fun. Saw a lot of neat country, a lot of rocks, but it's definitely different.
Yeah, you wouldn't know that there's – you look at this – distance and it just looks like a grass covered hill, but when you get onto it, it's a grass covered rocky hill. And so I'm lucky I haven't had any problems with my knee. Cross my fingers mentally, but
it's fun to watch the dogs work up the hillsides, and it's it's definitely a different kind of hunting.
Oh gosh, yeah, you deserve it, Shaq. Leave her alone. So, well, anyway, and so you're hunting with a lab.
Yep.
So you and I hunted in South Dakota. Yeah, we didn't get many birds that day. It was just a bad day, but you hunt everything up there with labs, don't you?
Yep, I got two labs, and they've actually done well on the desert quail, and she found her first covey yesterday, and she did good. I should have paid more attention to her because she knew she saw birds, and I wasn't watching her do it.
Well, as I do that all the time. Stepping in a covey, that'll get you too.
Yep, so that was they've been doing all right. I don't think they like this heat. They're used to snowing and blowing right now, but...
Yeah.
It is what it is.
So, anyway, that's, you heard that little bark you heard was Shaq sniffing her rear end, and Shaq has no scruples whatsoever. But, well, anyway, we're on our way. The only thing we've shot so far today is a javelina in the face, and he took off. I wish I'd had my pistol out, but that's just the way it goes, and we'll check in with you.
Cast worked out pretty good, actually, after the incident with the javelina / pig or whatever that thing was chasing Shaq. We dropped down into the valley and found two big coveys right away, and I got a nice male. Had some good bird work with the dogs. I mean, it worked out great, so we're heading to a different spot now. Pressure doesn't seem to be as great this year as it was last year. I don't see as many people having none, so that's a good thing. We dropped down into the valley on the way back from our encounter with the javelina, and we met the guys that were along the other ridge parallel to ours, and started to walk back down through the valley bottom, and Shaq pointed a really nice covey of Mearns in the bottom. We were hunting the side hills, and they were always in the bottom. Seems like they're one or the other place. but I found a really nice covey down there. They were kind of spread out for feeding, but, you know, they got up, I think it was probably 15 birds in there. Everybody got a shot. I dropped a really nice male. And Shaq came over and made the retrieve on. I was very, very pleased. And further on down, Wally's dog, Raider, pointed another covey. And the interesting thing was we were standing around within 3 feet of this covey, literally. 3 feet, three of us. Dogs pointed, us sitting there talking, gee, what's up? And finally the birds couldn't take it anymore, and they flushed right around. There was birds going through people, around dogs. It was just a blast. And, of course, as you might suspect, not one bird dropped. What a mess. I've got it on video, actually, so if you go to the YouTube channel of Bird Hunter's Thoughts, you'll probably see that buffoonery in action. But anyway, we moved on to another section, dropped off, across the one of the roads down into another draw on a section that I'd been hunting for years now, and I took Dave and John with me. They're newcomers to merge hunting. And they had their labs, and I took Blue, my young male. We started down just a small little swale, actually, in between the ridge lines. And, you know, I wasn't sure what the deal was. There's more birds here this year, and it would be nice to find some. So I'm still trying to get John a bird. Dave already had two. So we went on down there, and I'm kind of watching Blue, kind of daydreaming as I'm walking along the hillside and trying to keep falling down on the rocks. And I just kind of looked up, and I said, huh, I don't see Blue anywhere. So I checked my Garmin watch, which is hooked into my Alpha. And son of a gun, if he wasn't 40 yards behind me. So I kind of looked back behind me, and I couldn't see anything, and started walking that way. And right then I got the alarm that he was on point. And sure enough, there he was, locked up, and a bunch of singles got up. I was just far enough away to where the ones on the other side of him were too far. And the birds flushed away from me because I was the pressure coming in. So I didn't get any birds. I threw some lead at them, but no luck there. And we worked the area for a good 15 minutes trying to see if there was any more singles, and couldn't find any. And so we walked on further down, and we got to a water tank. Actually, it's like a pond. Watered the dogs, and then started back up to where Wally had driven the truck down, and we were going to jump on his tailgate, come back up. And I told the guys, I said, you know, for 10 years now, probably 9 out of the 10 years, we've gotten a covey right up this draw on the way to where the truck was parked. I said, let's go see if we can find them. So we went up there, and, you know, I'm climbing out. My legs are hurting, my hips are hurting, I'm just tired. And I'm thinking, you know, it'd be nice to find those birds. And one of Wally's dogs went on point, and Spirit is her name. She's a hefty gal. But anyway, she stuck these birds pretty good, and Blue went in and backed, and then Raider, Wally's other dog, came in and backed, and we kicked around and couldn't find them. And down towards the bottom in the rocky grass, and we finally said, well, I guess they were here, but they left. And so I crossed over, as long as I was down in the draw anyway, I crossed over, jumped over the dry stream bed and got on the other side and started walking up the other side of the draw there, generally uphill towards the truck, and looked up, and Blue was on point again. I said, aha, we got him now. And sure enough, this time I started my video camera and the GoPro, got it all on video. It was a really nice find, and I walked into him, a big covey, 20 birds plus probably. They got up in waves, and I didn't shoot because there was they flushed towards my friends just on the other side of the hill there. So when the second wave got up, bird flew away, and I dropped it. It was another nice male, and Blue made a really nice blind retrieve on it. You can see it go down, and I knew the general area and sent him in, and he brought it to me, and it was just a great finish to a good solid 2 days hunting in Mearns country.
Well, that's a wrap for Mearns quail hunting in Arizona in December of 2021. With the good rains they had for the monsoon, they
really had good habitat. The birds, there were more birds this year than last year, and there was less hunting pressure. So all in all, it made for a really good hunting experience. Not so much the 10 covey days that we had a few years ago, but still the number of birds were on the upswing, and it was it just made for a pleasant experience. We had two individuals that had never hunted Murns before, and from South Dakota and one from Wyoming. John's from South Dakota, Dave is from Wyoming. They came down and they got a good look at the whole situation. It was really just a very, very pleasant experience. Normally, we'll hunt 3 to 5 days, but we had other things we needed to do, and so we gave it a good solid 2 days, and then we moved on over to desert birds. I don't know if I mentioned earlier, but I was hunting these birds with a 28 gauge and 8.5 shot, and fairly open chokes. You're not going to have to shoot, long mega shots with these on these birds because they hold so tight. We're working with pointing dogs, and when a pointing dog finds a covey and points them, they'll almost always, practically every time, they'll wait until you get up to them. They're not going to flush wild, unless later on in the season they've been hit a couple times, and then just like any bird, they're going to learn that this is not a good thing, and they'll blow out of there at the first hint that anybody's even getting close to them. But early in a season like this, it was, you could shoot an open choke or a more open choke and a 28 gauge easily and have success. So we left out of there and went back and hunted desert birds in Arizona and New Mexico. YouTube channel that has videos for both of those events, and also the podcast for those as well. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you for listening. And if you want to go to my blog, abirdhuntersthoughts.com, down the right-hand side, you'll see a spot where you can just about everything. You can order books, order my books, Endless October and Endless October Season 2. And you could also, if you so desired, you could go ahead and support this effort at podcasting. And there's a spot there that it says support. And whatever amount's appreciated. And that helps me maintain this effort as I go out and do the podcast throughout the country. Well, I appreciate you, and try to be the man your bird dog thinks you are. God bless.